So you decided to not hang that thing on the wall this time then? No, you just have it leaning against the couch?
I tried on the wall again. I tried clipping it to the top of the wall and hanging it from the fan on the ceiling, but now we're just leaning against the couch. So we'll find a home for it, but for now, I think it's working.
Well, why is he so loud all of a sudden? Yeah, Ryan, we were talking pre-show. You were fine. Then I asked you about your S that was taped to the wall, and it's like, he's like,
I got fired up. All right, how's that?
Fired up, ready to go, baby. Just like your crackerinos, dude.
I take logos seriously.
I know you do. I know you do. And it's awesome. It's awesome. And I like that it's leaning on the couch. We don't have to worry about it falling off the wall this time. You don't have to take bets this time.
Do you know who gave me that logo? It's like a fathead. Strawberry gave it to me. The Winter Classic.
Really?
Yeah. Nice guy.
Did he tear it off the wall?
I was handing them out to everybody, but he made sure I got one. I actually got two, technically. I got you one, but it's hanging in my bedroom.
Is it on the ceiling or on the wall?
No, it's on the wall. It's actually propped up on the shelf.
Oh, that's right. You got that poster of Matty Berniers on your ceiling over your bed. I forgot.
The one and only.
Is that poster of him playing on the ice, or is that just a poster of him like walking in looking dapper in a suit? Did you just print something out?
Yeah, it's a walk-in photo.
Wait, Ryan, can you hear yourself in your headphones? I think that's not at all. Yeah, he's having trouble modulating the volume of his voice. Austin Powers? No? You don't have the reference?
No.
No? Austin Powers, the first. Have you seen Austin Powers?
I mean, I was like 9, probably.
Let's go back to 1998.
Mr. Powers. You don't remember Austin Powers?
No, I know what it is. Yeah, but I saw it when I was like 9.
Katie's never seen Austin Powers.
I know it says Groovy Baby.
Groovy, hey.
And the Shaggin' Wagon. And.
Yeah. So the first Austin Powers, he's cryogenically frozen in the 60s. And then they wake him up in 1999 or whatever, 98, like Ryan said. But after he comes out of the freeze, he has trouble controlling the volume of my voice. Nothing?
No, I know what the movie is, Brett. I just don't know that quote of the movie.
Shagadelic.
1997.
Baby.
Wait, is the movie set in 1997?
Do we shag now or shag later? You're going to have to stop. I'm just going to keep going.
It came out in 1997.
But it takes place in 97.
Yeah, okay, so yes.
He's a super agent, secret super agent from the 60s. Who gets cryogenically frozen and woken up in the 90s.
A la Bond in the 90s.
Can you name the first Austin Powers female lead, girl, lady, hot lady? Who was the first Austin Powers hot lady?
Pussycat, something?
No, not the character's name, the actor.
Oh, Beyoncé?
No. Who? No. She was number 3. That was Goldmember.
Oh.
That was the one where about the guy with the golden penis. Don't worry, we'll get to hockey soon. I promise. Anybody? Who was the hot lady?
Was it Elizabeth Hurley?
Ding, ding, ding! Hit the theme song.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
Young fish. What's cracking? What's cracking? We cracking. We cracking. We dipping. We diving. We sliding, we snapping. Hockey in Seattle, boy, we all about the action. Release the show, release the show. What's cracking, what's cracking? We cracking, we cracking. We dipping, we diving. We sliding, we snapping. Hockey in Seattle, boy, we all about the action. Release the show, release the cracking.
It's your favorite Kraken podcast. Release the show. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett. That's Ryan. Producer Katie's over there not getting the references.
What up?
We're here to talk some hockey and also plenty of not hockey. But hopefully you'll be entertained while you're listening. We love you and thank you for listening. Check us out on all social media. It's at Release the Show. And if you want to find us on YouTube, I think you can do that too. Ryan, are we on YouTube?
We're on YouTube.
Okay. What's Absolutely. The handle for everybody?
At Release Your Show for everything. Oh, okay. All across all channels.
Consistent, man. Sweet. Go over there and give us a sub and a like and a comment and all that stuff. Actually, you know what? Don't. No, I don't. What? I just feel like everybody tells everybody, go like my YouTube.
Oh, you like know? And subscribe.
I know, but everybody says that. Let's be different. Let's say don't like and subscribe.
But then you have to work backward.
Right. Subscribe and like.
Yeah, don't push the don't like. Just, I'm just saying it as a marketing ploy, everybody. Welcome to the show. We love you. Ryan, right off the bat here, let's get into the Kraken and the hockey. The Kraken, since last we spoke, they played the Philadelphia Flyers. That's a win, 6-4. Then they played the Calgary Flames. That's a win, 2-1 in O-Tizzle. And then they played the Avalanche, and they lost 3-2. But they're 2-1 since last we spoke, and as a Kraken fan, how do you feel about it?
I feel pretty good, actually.
I feel great, dude. I'm on cloud nine. Bylsma for president.
Bylsma. I got it right.
I nailed it.
Coach, I have to have someone else say it first before I can get it.
If we are 2-1 every single time that we open up this show from the last time that we talked, that's a great season. So I'm not complaining about anything. And a loss 3-2 to the Avalanche is not that bad, was it?
No, not bad at all. I mean, last year Colorado went 18-4-2 against all the teams in the Pacific Division. So, and they're not doing as hot so far this year, but they have our number. And I think we actually played them pretty well. If Gord would have got that goal 15 seconds in, that's a different look to the game. We were just missing, just had some unlucky bounces yesterday.
Yeah, and which is going to happen, every hockey person tells me. And a 3-2 loss is better than the 6-4 loss, I think, that we gave the Flyers. You know? Like, what if the Avs beat us 6-4? We keep talking at the same time. But even if we would have scored 4... Like, you still gave up 6. You know what I mean? I don't mind losing 3-2 in regulation. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, we want to get these kind of losses out of the way. So we're not doing that at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But the team never stopped. I mean, they let them back in halfway through the first, and the second period was a little slow. But if you look at individual efforts, it only got stronger as the game went on. And they were doing, again, my favorite word, the little things, being first to the puck, being aggressive, making the other team compete. That they were doing that. And it was just, again, unlucky bounces. The post was not in our favor. One for Colorado tinked in on Grubauer. And then, you know, like I said, the Yanni Gord shot went the other way. So, I mean, a couple of those shots go a different way. We're looking at a different game.
How about the response goals?
Love me some response goals.
I couldn't stop thinking about response goals while watching all three of these games.
I couldn't stop thinking about response goals in life.
Yeah.
I thought about that phrase, Ryan, like 12 times last week.
Yeah. So, I mean, who did better on the response goals in the last week? The Kraken opponents or the Kraken?
I'd say Kraken opponents. I mean, we score the first one, and I don't know, 30 seconds later, a minute later, came right back. That's not that those are tough. You don't want to give those up. And the goal at the end of the second with 8 seconds left, that was really, really tough. That wasn't a response goal, but I don't know.
Dude, the reason I bring it up is because I'm saying maybe we need to embrace response goals the way that other teams have. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because maybe we just shouldn't score first all the time, because then we're just giving stuff up. You know what I mean? Like a little reverse psychology.
Okay.
Just a tip for Coach Dan, you know, Coach Jessica, the rest of the crew. Like, you guys, maybe we don't try scoring first. Anyone ever thought of that?
No.
Can you imagine? I walk in the locker room. Like, guys, Hear me out.
No, no. Yeah, you don't. No.
Wait for them to score tonight.
The jeers.
Hey, what if there is something to that, though?
No.
Okay? No. Think about it. Everyone loves a comeback. Huh? Ryan, don't shake your head yet. Think about this for a second. Everyone loves to come back, and the momentum is usually in sports on the team that is trying to come back sometimes. It's really hard to stay on top the whole time.
Brett, you got to score first, and you got to get the response goal.
Listen, I know, and that is in a perfect sports world, in perfect sports fandom, that's how your team would play. But hear me out, people. Just hear me out for a second. Is it harder to win wire to wire than it is to maybe get a little bit of motivation from being behind and then catching up? That's all I'm asking.
They say the two-goal lead is the most dangerous lead in hockey.
Because
you do have that motivation. It's funny. Playing beer league, when you're down a couple goals and there's 5 minutes left, the game picks up because all of a sudden your competitiveness kicks in again and you're back to being 20 years old and the game gets really fast. You have something to lose at that point. So, the show's off the rails already. I'm just going to embrace it. Let's give up the first goal and let's go for it.
Dude,
let's go.
No,
I'm not saying give it up.
That's not how we score.
No, we just hand it to him.
Not saying hand it.
1-0.
No. No, just I'm saying don't shoot on them till they score. You cannot fire until fired upon. What?
No.
You don't like this idea?
It's
like a practice drill where you have to pass it 5 times before you can shoot. Everybody's got to touch the puck and then you go and shoot it.
I know you guys all think I'm crazy right now, but just in a couple years when people are doing this and the analytics are saying to let it happen, you guys can pull back up this episode, dust it off, and crown me king. Okay? That's all. Hey, you ever seen the movie Seabiscuit about the horse?
Yes.
Hey, you ever seen that, Ryan, with Spider-Man riding a horse? You guys ever seen that?
I own Seabiscuit on DVD. Have never watched it.
Beautiful film. Tobey Maguire rides a horse, right? In the movie, Seabiscuit, he holds the horse back a little bit because Seabiscuit likes to chase the other horse down. And if you let that other horse get out there, the other horse has a chance of tiring itself out a little bit. And so in the movie, the jockey, he's holding Seabiscuit back. He's like, not yet, fella. Not yet, buddy. Not yet. And then as they're rounding that final corner, he's like, let's go. And then he just take the other horse. Cause you're just kind of laying back waiting. Well,
I've never seen the movie.
It's not just one race, okay? The Seabiscuit's a legendary racehorse that raced in a lot of races, okay? I'm not ruining the whole movie. But sometimes you need a carrot out there is all I'm saying. So maybe we don't let them score a goal or anything, but how do we find the motivation that they just scored a goal?
I have an idea. You know what we could do?
What?
Release the show.
We already did that.
We did?
Oh yeah, a long ass time ago. I said it.
Play the song again. Play the song again. She said it.
You know what? You know what producer Katie just did? Now editorially she has to go put the song in twice, I think.
She's just creating more work for herself. See, playing from behind. Always. She's gonna be more motivated.
Just leave all this in. Hold on, we'll take the pause, but you gotta leave all this in. Alright, here it is. Ready? Here's your pause. All right, there you go. Now you hit the songs in three times.
That was not long enough.
No, it's still playing underneath us right now. You can't hear it.
No,
it goes,
I will not.
Da-na-na-na-na. You said release the show. You just hit it when that happened. Oh, no, I said it again. Oh, no.
So on the Seabiscuit thing, instead of now the WWE belt thing that they're doing, they get that flower thing that you put around the horses head when they win. That's the player of the game thing now, the flower celebration.
I kind of like it. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
The rose, what is that thing called? No. Ryan's talking about like big, almost like carpet of roses that they lay over the horse when they win the race. It's like a, I don't know. Like a Crown of Roses or something? I don't know. I like it though, Ryan. I like where your head's at. Ryan, I asked though a real question in there before Katie interrupted. Leave it to someone.
The Garland of Roses.
There you go, Garland. Yeah. How do they find the motivation as if they are behind? You know what I mean? And maybe not from the beginning, but just when they need it. You said that second period drags a little bit. I agree. I think our second period drags quite often, actually. So how do they find that motivation and that fire and that momentum, you know, when they need it without letting the other team score a goal?
You play the new style of Kraken hockey from the get-go. Okay. And you never let up, right? So their new thing is fast-paced, hard hits, punch them in the mouth kind of hockey, and shoot the puck, crash the net. And that is a hard thing to do to keep that momentum for 60 minutes. But when you get down a goal, that's when you got to, like you said, just like you said, you got to kick it into that next gear. And every once in a while, you need to take a step back, pause. And I've seen teams do timeouts in the first period, timeouts in the second period. Hey, everybody, let's take a minute, catch your breath, reset, and go for it. But if you watch the Kraken, they will, as they're going into the zone, into the offensive zone, and the play is not 100% right, they'll actually pull back and regroup in the neutral zone. So if it's not a clean entry, they'll actually go back, kick it back to the defenseman, reset, and then go back in and attack. And I think that's something you'll see more and more from this team, is generating the right opportunities and not just going in and generating any old opportunity.
Right, not the old like dump and chase type method, you mean?
Dump and chase, but there's got to be a purpose to it. So you're not just dumping the puck and going and catching it. But if you don't have that winger with speed coming down the line, that dump and chase doesn't work, because the idea is you want to be the first to the puck. You got your second guy coming in for backup, and your third guy's coming in high slot waiting for the pass. And if you watch the game back yesterday, they did that a lot. They shot the puck, and they had the guy in the high slot. He was either too high or he's too low. The puck was just not coming to him. But typically those bounces are going to come to where that guy's at, and they're going to create more scoring chances that way. So this style of hockey, again, very, very hard to maintain. But if you can do it and do it right, these teams will be unstoppable. And the guys learn how to shoot and score. Like they are learning how to score, and we will be dangerous. We just got to get those chances. Yesterday, I wish I had more to talk about other than we just had unlucky bounces. I really feel that.
Do you mean they're learning how to score in Coach Dan and the new regime's sort of offense or style?
I think they opened up a lot of minds on the team that they can actually be contributors and actually shoot the puck and score, and not like last year. I felt like, yeah, we had some guys and they had some glimpses of greatness on there, but I think this new style is opening up these players to get more creative and to really lean on why they're in this league in the first place. And that's the talent that they're bringing out of this, out of this club.
Yeah. How about these guys stepping up and even some of the new guys here? Are you in love with Riker Evans, or are you just in like with him still? Or do you like
not like I like Maddie with the poster on my ceiling.
Right. Okay. So no poster yet, but I mean, I'm in heavy like with this guy, man.
Riker Evans, where's the stat that I just read? Riker Evans netted his second goal of the season in the third period, surpassing his previous record of one last year. So already seen improvement.
Yeah, he's already set a career record for most goals scored. But he's dishing it too, though, right? Like his assists are there. His just production is there. I think hockey's an interesting thing for me to get used to as a fan, and being a fan of other sports and stuff, and just the way that draft picks work and the way the farm system works and all that. Is this sort of, maybe it's a little behind the timeline maybe that we hoped for, but no matter what, seeing this kind of production from him at this point, I mean, it leads towards a bright future, doesn't it?
No, hopefully. Absolutely. And I think all the young guys, and there was a play where Shane Wright yesterday gave up the puck, kind of coughed it up, and he busted his ass to get back into the play. And playing with these veterans that are now stepping up, playing how they should be, and you're only going to elevate the rest of the team. And these rookies are now meeting them to this level. So I think it doesn't matter if you're a rookie or if you're a 10-year vet. The level of execution has to be very, very high now. They're holding them all accountable to the same level. And guys like Riker Evans and Shane Wright and you know, Cale Fleury. So some of these guys that are coming from Coachella, that they're going to benefit from this. I think the system with the speed and the speed that we have down in the minor leagues, the speed that we brought up this year, you're going to see a lot more production out of these players than we would have in the years past, I think, on this team.
But who do you like more? Who do you like more? Shane Wright, Riker Evans?
Right now, Riker Evans. I still think Shane Wright's got some growing to do.
Okay.
But I would like him to pick it up because I like saying the right stuff. I like what we came up with last year for that. But I'm excited to see where Wright goes. I think he's just got to find his groove a little bit. And again, we're a couple of games into the season. I'm not saying anything against these guys. I think we're all ticking in the right direction.
Yeah, I know, but we're not being too nice again. Remember that didn't work last time with the old regime. So we're not pushing any panic, but dude, the team is playing very well. They're just 2-1. Stop it. You're giving me like the feels of the old crew and stuff. Like nobody's pushing any panic or there's nothing to panic over. They're playing very well. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm just asking who you like better right now. We have such PTSD from just the first 3 years of this team, don't we?
I'm not trying to be negative
in those 3 years. You're not even being negative. Will you stop it over there? Jeez Louise. Riker Evans, everybody. 7 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists. How's that for some production from the young guy? 5 points. And then Shane Wright, he's got the 1 goal and the 1 assist. So he's doing some stuff. He's got only 2 points on the young season, but he can come on. Our defenseman, man, I love the defenseman right now. Riker, right? But also Montour. How do you like Montour? We love him. We already talked about him on the last show, but should we just give him some more flowers on this one?
Absolutely. I love him. He played 26 minutes last night. That's a ton of ice time. And you want your good guys out there. I think he's a great addition to this team. I think he brings something to the blue line. And now with Dunn out for a while, these guys have got to step up, right, and kind of fill that gap. But I think Montour just naturally goes into that and becomes that leader.
The defense, man. Don't we love a defense in Seattle? Larson, Montour, Dunn. Dunn's playing well, too. The guys on defense, though, that need to step up, how about the big rig? You got to step up a little bit for you? Or you like the way he's playing this year? So far,
solid.
Yeah, really? Yeah. I didn't believe him. Did you believe him? I just feel like listen, no shade or anything. Again, we don't need all these disclaimers. We love all these guys. It's just we talked about the original dudes on the last episode, right? I mean, 7 games played, no goals, couple assists, 2 points. Vet guy, decent sized contract. Got to step it up a little bit. Yes, no?
No, I think we're right where we want to be. If Montour is going to be the kind of player that is maybe rushes the puck a little bit more, maybe takes some more chances, then you need his line partner, Jamie, to hold back and just be that solid backstop, right?
Well, so how do you like that? Look at that. We're talking hockey.
He's got a Seabiscuit a bit.
Holy mackerel. Ryan, see, now that's why we do the show, because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And what you just said makes perfect sense. So, yeah, if he's going forward,
I do what I can. Back.
Good shit, dude. See, but now I'm going to watch for that the next time I watch. That's why I listen to Release the Show. Good info, bro. Good info. How about McCann?
Finally scoring his 100th goal as a Kraken, the first player to do that.
Yeah, baby. Oh, it was the Avs game. Of course it was. Yeah. Second period. Backhanded shot. Whoosh. You like a backhand or a forehand, Ryan? What's more? I mean, backhand's more styly, right?
No, the backhand goal, I jumped out of my seat for that. That was a beauty.
It was nice.
Yesterday was the frozen frenzy or whatever they called it, where every single team played. The game started at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and every single – so I was trying to be a fan last night. I don't watch a lot of other games, but I had the Philly game on first. I had the Ducks and the Vegas game on afterwards. And I sat down, I got some pizza, I had some beer. It was just me by myself watching hockey. And I was like, this is going to be a great night. And the Kraken game, I was fired up for that. That goal, that backhand goal, that was the first time I was like, you know, as a fan, I was like, that's sick, right? That's the creativity, the poise and control that these guys are having now. To be able to hold on to the puck like that and to make that move and not just jab it in, especially when we're you know, kind of playing from behind a little bit,
yeah.
And calm down and make the right play all day long. That was beautiful.
Yeah, McCann is, I think, possibly the most stylish Kraken goal scorer, question mark?
Yeah, he gets the style points. I think, I don't know. There's been a couple goals from Everly, not necessarily the most stylish, but for him, with his moves, that were pretty good.
Jordan Eberle's got like dad style, though. You know what I mean? Like, he scores a lot of goals, but it's like Kirk Cousins throwing for a lot of passing yards. It's like he's wearing dad jeans while he does it, and it's fine. And he's got like dad strength and dad leadership skills, and I'm sure he's a great dad if he is a dad.
And Skechers. All that stuff.
You know, yeah, he's wearing Skechers out there, though. Like, McCann's out there in Jordan 4s. You know what I mean? Just, like, flashing up the place. That's all I'm saying. Yes or no?
I think the answer
is yes.
Yeah.
Do you like more flash or do you like more would you rather have more goals or more flashy goals, more highlight reel goals?
That's a good question, you know, because you got that kid. Who's that kid down in Anaheim that does all the crazy stick handling and stuff? But necessarily doesn't have the, I don't know. You want the Messi in front of the net goals? I don't mean Messi like the soccer player.
That's what I thought you said first.
I mean like the digging them out goals. Or do you want the breakaway like triple D like Charlie Conway?
The Zegras Michigan.
Yeah, the Zegras. That's the guy I was thinking of. See, as a player, I want to be Zegras. You know what I mean? Like in my mind. I would think I'm him, but I think in actuality, I'm just the guy doing all the dirty work all the time. Like when I used to play basketball, it's just all rebounds and assists and defense, you know? But I want to be the guy who's like cutting down the lane and like putting it in reverse. Ryan, you were a dirty goal scorer.
When I played, I had to earn every single goal. I was the guy in front of the net with the defense and throwing the stick in my back every single play and had to go into the corners to dig the puck out. And maybe I would get a rebound here or there. I had a couple goals where I just fly down the wing and just rip a slap shot and, you know, magically went in. But no, I had to earn every goal. So I gravitate more towards that because I can't do the flash.
Yeah.
So, you know, those guys can suck it.
Yeah, man. I feel like even if you look at them the way they look, McCann and Eberle, like you can see what kind of goal scorer they are. McCann's got sort of the long flowing, like, you know, hair coming out, like the curly blonde sort of, he's, you know,
Fabio.
He's got like some like supermodel kind of chin line, you know, on him. And then Eberle's just got like the neck scruff and like, you know, he's a good looking guy too, but like he looks like he just, you know, coached some little league and got done at the firehouse and is down here to play some hockey. You know what I mean? So
I think you look at when they walk in from the car to the rink and Eberle has like the newsboy hat or whatever that thing is called and the wool jacket and McCann comes in rocking no socks and so he already has the flair when he walks in.
Eberle is Ricky Bobby And the can is Sacha Baron Cohen. In the
Who's movie. The magic man?
Who is Cal? It's a good question. I got to go back. I don't know. I'm going to think on that. Why are we better on the road than we are at home?
Good question. Wasn't that kind of like last year too? Seemed like the road was a little bit easier. I think it's maybe just caliber of teams we're playing. I mean, we came in back from the road trip and Calgary was the first game back and they were undefeated. Colorado always plays us pretty well. So we still have a couple of games left on this homestand. I don't know. I always like playing on the road better. You just get in a different mindset. You're only there to work. You're only there to play hockey. There's nothing else going on. Yeah. And you can kind of clear your brain a little bit and your routine. You have your road routine and you have your home routine. And I just think on the road, you can focus a little bit better. Hmm. And again, maybe that's the motivation. You're playing in someone else's barn. It's loud. There's, people yelling at you and you can turn around and tell them to, suck it, like I said last time. But yeah, I mean, you can go in on the road and have yourself a good game, and that's all you got to do is perform.
Burakovsky leads the team with 5 assists. He's actually tied with Sacha Baron Cohen. They both have 5. So if Cal is the ultimate sidekick, then I looked at who's leading in assists, right? So that'd be Burakovsky. But then their headshots are up here. Looks wise, I might go Yanni Gourde as John C. Reilly. It's got the floppy hair up there. Plus, Yanni's like always kind of rooting for everybody, cranking everybody up a little bit. Maybe he's Cal. What do you think about that?
No, they just had a team Halloween party, and I think a lot of the guys went as semi-pro.
Oh,
like the tropics. But now I'm curious who would they pick, right? So we might have to do a deeper dive into this and pair them up with their. With their Talladega Nights characters.
Yeah, maybe ask them. You see these guys at the stadium. Ask them.
That'll be my last question. Oh, by the way, if you were on Talladega Nights, who would you be?
What character would you be? Right. Katie, do you know Talladega Nights? The movie?
No, I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No. But I know what it is, though, obviously. Right? Yeah.
Which one do you know better, Austin Powers or Talladega Nights, even though you haven't seen Talladega Nights? It's more recent. A lot more clips of it on.
I mean,
it's on TNT every single night. So just turn the TV on. It's there.
Who watches regular TV?
I love my TV.
Honestly, I'm impressed.
You love watching commercials?
I've had Comcast since I've moved out, and it's one of those things I just can't get rid of it.
Wow. Throw it on TNT.
It's probably because I get Hockey Night in Canada on CBC.
Oh, yeah?
Old school channel 99. That's probably the reason why I keep it for whatever reason. I don't know, but it's hooked up to my internet. I hate calling people and having them disconnect stuff. I also have Fubo and I have Hulu and I pay too much for everything. ESPN Plus now. Come on, guys.
Let's see here. The Kraken, your favorite hockey team, coming up next within the next week. They have got themselves. The Jets, that's actually tonight as we record. Then they take on the Hurricanes this weekend on Saturday. Is that at home or away? That's
home.
That's at home, yeah. And then they take on the Canadiens next Tuesday. And then by the time we record next, they'll be playing the Maple Leafs. We got 3 more: Jets, Hurricanes, and Canadiens by the time we talk again. No predicting, no guessing. I'm not even going to ask you what you think they'll do in that stretch. All I'm going to say is I'm excited to see what happens in that stretch because honestly, the way the season has kicked off has got me pretty optimistic about this young Kraken season and this young sort of, are they a young team? They're not really a young team, sort of young era, I guess, of Kraken hockey.
Okay. Yeah? We're in our young era.
Well, this era is pretty young, is what I mean. This new era, I should say, is off to a pretty good start, I think. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give the first couple weeks here for Coach Dan?
10 being best, I'd probably say an 8 right now. I really like the way this team is going.
Yeah, I was thinking 7, but I'm, I guess, a bit darker. But 7's pretty good, man. See, because there's no such thing as
a 10.
I'll
take a 7.
There's no such thing as a 10, is there?
There is not.
No. No. I had a coach who, like, you know, you say give 110%, and he's like, you can never do that. That's mathematically wrong. You can only give 100. Can't do 110. So, no, I mean, there is no 10. 10 is perfect, and you win the Stanley Cup, and you don't lose the game. But if you, you know, you want to strive for that, obviously.
Yeah. Ah, in anything, a 10 doesn't exist. You got to kind of chop that one off. Just the same way a 1 doesn't really exist either, I don't think. Right? Is that too harsh? Yeah, a 0? No, 0, I guess.
A zero doesn't exist.
There's not a 0, right? There's not one team in the NHL that's an absolute 0. They're all trying at least 1. You know what I mean?
There's no professional sports team around in any sport that is a 0.
So there's no zeros, there's no tens. There's just everything in between.
Have you seen the Islanders?
That's the show for this week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hit us up on any social media at Release the Show. Also, there's the email addresses, releasetherants@gmail.com. Keep sending those in.
What up, Tap?
We'll start reading them on future episodes. And then also, releasetheshow@gmail.com. If you got regular emails, why would they send regular emails?
What are they going to rant about?
I don't know. Shout out to Epic Seats. EpicSeats.com. Whether you're buying or selling seats, do it with Epic Seats. They've got tickets to the Jets and tickets to the Hurricanes. So go check those out. It's EpicSeats.com. Yeah, they got concert tickets. They got everything over there. So get on over there. Ryan, that's it for us today. Anything else to say to the people?
The way the show's going? No, I'm just going to just cut it off right there.
Later, everybody. Bye.